Hello, everyone.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome to podcast. Oh, do you want to do a number? Because sometimes you do a number and sometimes
it's not
you
all
don't.
About that. It's not all about the it's numbers. Not all about Welcome the numbers. To another one of our wonderful podcasts
called
Today's Under the Covers.
Yes, and it's not about doonas or duvets, if you call them that either.
Or anything naughty that happens underneath those sort of
no,
things.
No, it's not at all. La, 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 la. Fingers in ears.
Yeah. It's not a Bound Chicka Chicka Wow playlist.
No.
Although maybe we should do one of those too.
A Bound Chicka Wow playlist. I think I'd just sit here the whole time being bright red, wouldn't I?
The top 10 wah wah guitar songs. Ooh, I'm liking that. But no, this is about covers of songs.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Record it under the covers because that's kind of clever.
Yeah, see what we did there?
I know. Very clever. And we've got an order.
We've got an order. Order amongst the chaos that we generally have.
Yes.
We'll drift off that, you know, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
Hopefully not too much.
So there'll be
time.
Like, maybe it's like a higher level structure and then underneath that structure is anarchy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. We like a little bit of... As long as the anarchy is planned, that's okay.
Planned anarchy. Okay, at 12. All right, be crazy.
12:05, then we have to go to lunch.
Yeah. Then we've got to stop the craziness, focus back onto where we need to be.
Okay, so our rough guide for this one. We're going to talk about... I think we've got 2, 4, 6 songs that are a revival of a classic.
Yes.
So it's pretty much... It's a cover, but it's done... Sort of in the same style or a very similar style.
They haven't tried
to do anything crazy different. We're going to then have a couple of... Talk about some tribute albums that we like. And then a couple of Hall of Fame coverers of songs.
Coverers. Or songs that are covered by a lot of people.
Well, songs that are covered by a lot of people, but then we're going to do a couple of people who are very good at covering other songs, two groups.
Yep, two groups.
And then, some of the most covered songs just before that. And then we'll go to our
very different
covers, which we've got 12 songs, I think, 10 songs.
Yep.
That's right, 10 songs that are
very different
and very cool.
Yeah.
We didn't want to go the these are better or not better route.
No.
Because sometimes it depends what mood you're in.
Yes.
Some of them... And some they're just very different.
Yes, they are
different.
Different
is not bad. Different is not better.
Yeah.
If only the world worked like that with everything, but it doesn't.
And for us, I actually think that we were looking for more of the different. So along the way, we uncovered some that are a revival of a classic or that sort of a mode or feeling. But essentially, we're after the different. We wanted something where we kind of go, so that's the original. That's the new one. Wow. They don't sound the same, which goes back to your whole thing that you say about a good song, which is...
A well-written song can be sung in any genre and sound good.
Yeah.
You know, and there are countless examples we have and many of them today.
Yes.
So let's do
many of them today.
Shall we get started with our revival of a classic?
Yep.
What shall we start with?
Well, I'm thinking we might want to go a little bit old.
Old school.
Not too old, but a little bit old.
Go.
And then sort of finish that list off possibly with, you know, a more modern take of that.
Okay.
So based on old, I think it's always good to start off any playlist with the Communards.
Mm-hmm.
And Don't Leave Me This Way.
Don't Leave Me This Way. I love Jimmy Somerville.
Yes.
Love.
Yes, same.
Love his voice. I love everything he's done.
Yeah.
Bronski beat the Communards and then his solo stuff.
Yeah.
His best of album is an incredible album to listen to.
Just one of those
ones you can put on a mixture of stuff really cool.
Writing it down
on the list, please do. Don't Leave Me This Way was a huge dance hit in the 80s for the Communards with Jimmy Somerville and sort of joining them after he left Bronski beat.
Yeah.
This is one of the 80s dance classics.
Absolutely 80s dance classic. It's so Communards. Really high pitch, just beautiful Jim Somerville, just doing his thing.
Yeah,
you can't help but dance, but is that what you're thinking of?
Especially at the end too when they do the
baby.
Yeah, if you're on a dance floor, this is one of those ones if you're at a wedding and they've got a cheesy DJ. The original, there's a couple of originals. The original that I know from the 70s was Thelma Houston.
Yep.
And it was a disco kind of...
Yeah.
Communards didn't do anything radically different.
No,
they
not
kind
radically.
Of just a little bit updated it a little, so it wasn't quite the heavy disco bass in it.
Yep.
but essentially it's very essentially similar. Essentially the same song. Still, I think the Communards version may be slightly better, but again, depends what mood you're in.
Voting.
If you want a bit of Thelma for a bit of disco flavor, and that kind of stuff.
I personally would prefer the Communards one. There's such a life to it.
Yes.
That you just, liveliness as well, that you just, I just love it. No. I think it's bloody awesome.
Agreed.
Bloody awesome. So there you go. Communards, don't leave it this way. I feel like I'm back announcing now, like a proper radio host would do.
That was the Communards. And that's who. Don't leave it this way. Coming up next
is. Where are you going to go?
I'm going to go Fast Car.
Ooh.
This album of Tracy Chapman's for me is also one of my favourite sort of, if you call it acoustic folk.
Yeah.
I guess that's more. That's
yeah,
the
that
thing.
Would be accurate.
This album is another one, you know, we were talking about this earlier. I was also talking earlier about the fact that I say we were talking about this earlier.
Yes.
Stop saying we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of albums I listen to all the way through.
Yes, true.
I do listen to them at the start and go, yeah, and then I cherry pick the songs I like. This album by Tracy Chapman is one that is crafted beautifully, has a story, has stuff in it.
Has a beautiful flow.
Yeah, and lots of great songs on it.
Yep.
And Fast Car for me was a great song.
Yeah, it is a great song.
Which has been recently redone.
Yes, by Jonas Blue featuring Dakota. And I actually quite like this version as well. So sometimes when it's a song that I absolutely love and then somebody does it again, I'm like, ugh. What have you done, you stupid person?
Look what they've
person.
Done to my song, Ma.
Yeah, exactly.
We should do that at one of the bad covers.
But I actually think they've done the good job. They've lightened it a little bit because it is quite a heavy song in terms of the story behind it and stuff like that. But I think they've kind of got
Which
it lightened
Tracy Chapman's whole album is a bit like some of the domestic abuse stuff.
Your heart just breaks. God. Absolutely breaks. So, But I think that they've done
the new version's actually quite... Yeah. Without being too... Too dancey.
No, because if you went too far, then it's disrespectful. Yeah. So you can't.
It's a refresh.
That
which I think is you know
and I think
revival.
Done it beautifully.
So it's, I think they've done a good job with it too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So well done, Tracy Chapman / Jonas Blue featuring Dakota with Fast Car. So let's move on to the next one. So anybody that knows me at all for 5 minutes, probably maybe 10, would know that I'm a massive fan of the Smiths and Morrissey. I know.
What?
Surprise!
You've never told me that ever, except from the 500 times.
Yeah, gosh, I love them so much. The song that we've chosen here is also being covered by the Dream Academy, and it's called Please, Please, Please. Let me get what I want this time, which I have a pillowcase with that on and Morrissey's face. It's just the best merch ever.
Yeah.
It is. It's the best.
I know, it's a bit creepy having his face on the pillow. It's
sleep on it.
Cashing him. I don't know.
They don't sleep on it. It's like you keep it for like prosperity.
I thought you were. You had it as a functional pillowcase.
Oh, no way. Because you'd get dirty and no, you'd ruin it. No way.
But as I said, then you'd be feeling like you were pashing Morrissey and you're still asleep. And
he was super cute when he was 80s with his big, you know, the whole
big
50s quiff. They kind of had that thing happening.
They did.
So the Dream Academy song is slightly slower, but not much, but a softer tone than Morrissey has in this song.
Dream Academy, of course, famous for Life in a Northern Town.
Yeah.
This was also, this song, which version was on the Pretty in Pink soundtrack?
The Smiths version was on the Pretty in Pink
soundtrack.
The
Smiths, but Please, 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 it was also on another, the Dream Academy version was on another.
Yes, it was. Yeah. It's a popular one, the Dream Academy version, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I think, as we've said, it's not radically different.
No.
They put their own little spin on it, but they've essentially kept true to the song.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, I couldn't imagine, you know, Steps doing a 90s remix. it's not that kind of song.
No, not really.
It's, you know, it's just a bit, so it's dark, it's depressing.
It's dark, it's depressing.
You've just got to give that.
Just got to go with it.
Yeah.
Just let it happen.
Yeah.
It's beautiful when it does.
Yeah.
All right, so next one.
Okay, next one. Shall we go to my favourite, one of my favourite songs?
Yes.
Possibly top 20 songs of all time.
Yeah. Let's go there.
Rainbow Connection, originally by Kermit the Frog.
And that is so awesome that Kermit the Frog is on our playlist. Yeah. It's just the best thing.
I cannot tell you how much I love this song, how much I loved that movie, how as a child I saw it, and it brings back really happy memories. My uncle, who's now no longer with us, was a projectionist at a movie theater. Wow. So we used to go in and see movies for free all the time.
Oh, man, that is so cool. All the time
in the Carlton Movie House, which is no longer there in
Melbourne. Oh, wow.
So I remember seeing this movie about 3 times because you're like, yeah, okay, we'll just go and watch that again. And I love, this is the opening scene. It's the banjo. It sets the scene perfectly. It does. It's such a great song.
It is good.
So the covers, there's been quite a few covers over the years of this. I think even Justin Timberlake did something on Saturday Night Live.
I think he may have even done one with the Muppets.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
The versions that I like, hey, I know this will surprise you as well.
Surprise me. Make me surprised.
Sarah McLachlan.
No!
Does a, you know. Actually, it's reasonably upbeat for...
Wow, okay.
And the Carpenters do a version too, which is a little...
Oh, that would be amazing with their voice.
It's kind of, it is. I was actually a bit disappointed because I love the Carpenters.
I know.
Love the Carpenters because they're also really sad and depressing.
Yeah.
In an upbeat kind of groovy way. I'm pretending nothing's wrong, but inside I'm dying.
Yeah.
But this, I just felt it steamrolled the song a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Like it was, you know, Kermit felt every word.
He did feel every word.
I don't think Karen was. Sarah McLachlan was a bit
and
more
true to it. And it's a positive lyrics to it as well.
It is
an uplifting song.
It's like stuff's going to work out.
Yeah. And that's Kermit. Yeah. He's always like the world's going to be a better place.
He's also... I think he's my favourite Muppet too, which is also
a
really big call for me.
That is a massive call.
That's a big call. I've never said that aloud before.
I don't, like, that made me immediately go, wow, what would be my favourite Muppet? Which makes, oh man.
I know.
So, the Swedish Chef. I love the Swedish Chef. He's hilarious.
Of course, quirky. You go somewhere like that. Yeah.
And I love Beaker. Because he doesn't say anything, he just makes lots of weird noises and gets terrified look at his face.
And gets blown up a lot.
Oh, gosh, I love Beaker. I love Beaker and the Swedish Chef.
I think Rolf is one of my other favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And Cookie Monster.
Yes.
He has to be there, too.
Absolutely, and Animal.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Animal.
Love Animal.
Well, Animal was your Facebook profile for quite a few years. In the early days.
I thought, oh, I suppose people want to see my actual face at some point. Yes.
So you got some professional photos taken for, for your book that's out on Amazon.
On all the, your favourite. Yes, it is on Amazon. Yeah, it's on everywhere.
Working your mojo.
Yeah. Thanks. I'll pay you later.
Okay.
All right, let's move on. I love that song. It feels kind of like, you know, a little beautiful space in time.
So let's go from that. I think let's go from that to Shiver, which is a little
It's a little. So the first part, the lyrics that start this song off, so Shiver is a song by Boys Next Door and then the cover version is done by Screaming Jets. The song start off with, I've been contemplating suicide. Which just immediately grabbed me when I first heard it. It's actually on a very obscure movie soundtrack. I had to track it down. This is how much I love this song. So I had to track it down and get a movie song soundtrack for, I think it's the space movie that Michael Hutchinson was in.
Dogs in Space.
Dogs in Space.
Wow.
Yeah, so I had to track it down just to get this song from there. The rest of the album's rubbish, so if you're ever thinking...
Sorry, Michael in heaven.
Yes. Well, you know, apart from, you know, those are the songs, but yeah, don't track it down.
Okay.
It's okay. You're probably getting on iTunes now. Okay. But yeah, so that lyric, as soon as, you know, that first line goes in there, I'm like loving it. And then the second one that follows it up nicely straight away with it, but doesn't really suit my style.
Yeah, I've been contemplating it, but yeah, it's not really, actually, now I think about it, it's not really my thing.
It's not really me. I'm not really a suicide sort of person.
Yeah.
Which kind of fits, you know, if you think about me at all.
And the Screaming Jets version I loved. I love Dave Gleason. I think he's awesome. He is your quintessential pub rock.
Yes,
god.
Absolutely. And we probably need to add them on our Bogans list.
But, you know, he's got this, you know, raspy, screaming, well, Screaming Jets, but he's got this, you know, pub rock voice.
Yes, he does.
And this song for him is just, like, super mellow, but it's still melodic. Like, he can sing.
Yeah, yeah.
He can't just, he doesn't just scream.
Doesn't
shit.
Just scream.
Yeah, I think, but it works well for the Screaming Jets.
It does, it does. Yeah. And the version, so I've heard the version from the Screaming Jets, Neil's played that to me, and I like it, I really like it, actually, quite a bit, which is saying something, because, you know, I've told you about how we've been tracking down this song.
Although they do start with the, so, you know.
Yeah, so they definitely automatically are one of They're our favourite bands, yep. because they start with it.
Yep.
So if we're going to round off, are yes. we rounding it off?
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
we are. Rounding off our revival yep. of a classic.
Yeah. And I was interested at your pick for this, and I know you love this band because
yes.
we just talked about them in our Irish last Irish podcast. I reckon this isn't a revival. I reckon this is a very different version. But talk
Ooh,
about it.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
It is a very different version.
So the song is I Can See Clearly Now.
So yep.
originally Jimmy Cliff
yep.
back in the probably 50s.
I think so, yeah.
And then Hot House Flowers in
yeah.
the
80s. 87, yeah. I think, actually,
yep.
if I'm going to be precise.
Hot House Flowers a file.
Yes. Yeah. Love Hot House Flowers. Do yourself a favour. Mm. I've already said this before, but, you know, do yourself a favour. Totally buy all their albums. They're
yep.
fabulous. And this is, it's the one that they're probably most known for as well, apart from Don't Go, which is
yeah.
featured in the
yeah.
other thing. But it's a beautiful and it's clear and it's melodic. It's just kind of gorgeous, really.
Yeah, it's a nice positive song
yeah.
too. The Jimmy Cliff one's a little more upbeat, I think, to start with.
Yeah.
Hot House Flowers slow it down a little.
Yeah.
And they start like it's going to be a really different song. And
yep.
then actually they kind of end up...
Yes, they end up in the
nearly
same
in the
place.
Same place.
Yeah, but they do start off much
but
different.
But yeah, it, and it, Hot House Flowers have got more of the backing singers. It gets a little gospel-y
yeah,
almost too,
yep.
which
yep.
I love.
Definitely.
That touch to it too.
Yeah. And yeah, but some of the traditional Irish instruments into it, and it gives it a slightly different flavour.
Yeah. So there are yes. our six revivals of classics.
Yeah.
So let's talk about
yeah, where are we going?
Let's both say let's talk about
it. Yes, let's.
Let's talk about some tribute albums.
Okay, let's talk about some tribute albums.
One that you put me onto a
yes,
few years ago.
Yes, thanks to my brother. Thanks, Dwayne.
Which I love. ABBA, a metal tribute.
Yep.
So it's basically mostly Scandinavian thrash metal
yep.
band, death
thrash
metal,
bands,
thrash metal
yep.
bands.
You know, metal as you can get. Doing ABBA.
Singing ABBA songs.
Yep.
And they are incredible.
Yep.
Some of the SOS.
I know.
With that guy just screaming. Like he almost sounds like Rammstein. They're
yeah.
not on there. But
yeah.
some of the... I hadn't heard half of the bands because I'm not into...
aren't you really?
Not
thrash
into
metal.
Scandinavian
okay.
thrash metal.
Weird.
But they actually... And again, well-written songs.
Yeah, very well-written
this
songs.
This is living proof that well-written songs can be sung in any genre.
And in fact, a lot of the ABBA songs feel very 70s, mm. and you sort of can't imagine them being in any other era because they feel very 70s. When you listen to this metal
Until
tribute,
you hear
and then you
death
go,
metal.
Oh my God, that is so well done. And the songs on there I actually like them even better than some of the ABBA songs. And that, I love ABBA, so
yeah,
there's
yeah,
no
yeah.
question about that. But, yeah.
No dissing yes. ABBA.
No dissing ABBA,
so
you
can't. So the other great, we'll just go through a couple of quick ones. The Carpenters, there's
yes.
a whole lot of 90s grungy sort of
yep.
indie bands doing, and it's called If I Were a Carpenter.
Yep.
There's some incredible versions on there.
Yeah.
Including Dolores and the Cranberries doing
yes.
Close to You,
yep.
which is actually probably the calmest
yes.
Dolores has ever been in
yep.
something. There's, I'm just trying to think, Red Cross, there's Grant Lee Buffalo. There,
yep.
There's
Stats
lots of
people.
Those.
Yep.
It bands in the 90s, Sonic Youth.
Yeah.
There's some really good covers on there.
Yeah, very good covers.
Oh, Shonen Knife. Oh, my God. Can we talk about that? I'm on top of the world.
Yeah.
They're a Japanese girly grunge band.
Yes, they're awesome.
They hilarious.
I'm on top of the world.
hilarious. Hilarious, hilarious.
It's such a beautiful tribute.
It is. So then we have a couple of Australian ones too, Standing
yes.
on the Outside, which is called Chisel.
Yes.
A lot of Australian artists doing...
I think so, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I know Katie Noonan does
yeah.
some great versions on there.
I love Katie Noonan.
And she will... Yeah, I love. I've seen her four times.
Wow, I've never
That's
seen her
how
once.
Much I love
her. Oh my God, I totally have to make
In fact,
that.
And then I've lined up, bought the CD, got it assigned, and talked to her twice after the show because
she seems adorable.
She
I totally
is.
Follow her on
she
Facebook.
Is.
She's just gorgeous.
She's wonderful. I love her. She Will Have Her Way is the other one,
yes.
which is Crowded House Songs.
Yep.
Sung by female Australian artists, but then
yes.
they also had He Will Have His
yes,
Way, I think,
he will
which
have his
then
way,
they had.
Yep.
Yeah, and there's some great
yeah.
versions on that.
There's another one that I was thinking about just then. There's also Songs from the South for Paul Kelly. So I'm not sure if it's Songs
oh, yeah.
from the South, but
yes.
there is one that's
yeah,
a Paul
Kelly
version
of course
Hello, How Could You Not? Just gorgeous.
Paul. Then there's also another grungy 90s indies band, one of To Hell and Bacharach.
Yes, why not?
Bacharach songs, and I'm a huge Burt Bacharach fan.
Has he not told you before?
You cannot get your hands on... This is not on iTunes. It's not. My friend Pip in London, you have the only copy of this that I know exists in the world. Can you please send it to me?
Yes, now. I'm going to see if I can find it.
And then the last one that I want to just mention, because it's just a great name for a tribute album. Yep. So the whole lot of people have done a Kiss tribute album, including Lenny Kravitz and other people, but it's called Kiss My Ass.
Yes.
I just think it's the best name for a tribute album.
It is a really good one. Quite clever.
So then the other thing, the couple we want to talk about of the most covered songs before our little mini Hall of Famer ones.
Yes, correct.
Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen.
By everyone, isn't it?
Well, Leonard Cohen wrote it.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I know that. Don't need to school me on that.
Basically, every man and their dog has sung this.
Famously, you know, Buckley.
Jeff Buckley, probably.
Katie Lang.
He was the one that probably brought it to prominence.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, it was before that it was just a cool Leonard Cohen thing that only Leonard Cohen fans knew about. And then Jeff Buckley had it on his Grace album.
Yes, he did.
I think it was on
Grace. Yeah, with Lilac Mine was on there as well.
Yeah. So, and Jeff Buckley has this wonderful haunting voice. And then he died just after that. And so it went, you know, that's when it really shot to prominence. Carice Eden has sung it.
Katie Lang.
A great version. Katie Lang.
Katie Lang's version's quite good. I really like that.
Yeah. So the other two that we have on our little most covered list.
Yes. Hey Jude.
Hey Jude. I think still holds the record for the most covered song, like,
ever.
So, right up there. It's the Beatles, of course.
It's kind of going to happen.
Awesome. And the other one is Creep.
Yes.
So, Radiohead.
With some very rare versions of
it. So, apart from the original version, which I've told you is in my possibly top 10 songs of all time.
Ooh. You mean Kermit's only top 20?
Well, you know. I'm not, you know, locking my... I know you like to lock me in. I can't be locked in.
I only like to lock you in because I could see you squirm.
I know.
If you were doing the same, it wouldn't work for me either. I'd be like, no, I'm not locking him in.
So also on Creep, we have the Social Network Choir.
For
the Social Network
choir
movie.
Would
so
do that.
A choir.
Yeah.
I've got a string quartet version.
Yes, of course.
I've got a cappella versions.
Yes.
I've got Creep coming out my wazoo.
Ew, best do something about that.
Yeah.
Visit the doctor, toot sweet.
So, again, great song, well-written song. You can sing it at anything. There's been crooner 50s, you know, groovy versions of it. There's been everything.
Yeah.
It can do anything.
It does.
It's a great song.
It is a good song.
It can work with anything.
It's got manoeuvrability.
Yep. So then our two little
sort of side... Well, they kind of specialise in this,
I think we've put
they?
Them... It's like a little covers hall of fame because they are people
absolutely.
Who take songs and just do great things with them, and not just one or two. They've done them with many, many songs.
Yep, absolutely.
So the first one... I'll talk about it.
Okay.
Pentatonix.
Excellent, because you can pronounce it and I can never pronounce it.
Pentatonix are an a cappella group who, in fact, they're on Pitch Perfect 2, the movie.
Yes, they are.
Guest spot.
Yep. I think they're even, what was, there's another show.
They are just, I could listen to them all day. I love good a cappella groups and they are so spot on with everything they do. But they've done everything from...
They're really crafted, so they layer upon all of the different elements. It's not just, I mean, it all is just voices, but they actually layer kind of beatboxing and other stuff and in it. It just makes it, takes it to another level.
So you think, oh, there must be some productions, like some instruments and other things here, but no, it's all, everything you hear is voices.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And I don't know if you know this about them, but they actually record a lot of it in the kitchen. Because the acoustics in the kitchen apparently are quite good.
Wow.
So they actually do a lot of it in the kitchen because it just actually gives them that
I'm guessing they don't have too many flat surfaces in their kitchen because that wouldn't work.
No, it wouldn't work. I don't think so. The way that they talked about it was just that it's like some grungy share house kitchen.
Yeah.
That they would just kind of get in there and then, because the acoustics I worked out was so good in there that they just would go into the kitchen and start recording it. So.
That is really cool. So they won a Grammy this year with Dolly Parton.
Yes, Dolly. Oh, my God. We so need to do a Dolly special.
Best duo / group for reviving Jolene with Dolly Parton as well.
Yes.
And it's an incredible version of it. They've also done Nicki Minaj. They've done... Like,
you name it.
You name it,
baby.
Yeah, exactly.
They've done a lot. The second one that we wanted to give an honourable mention, Hall of Fame nod to, is Mark Ronson. Yeah. Dude is such a dude.
Love
Mark Ronson. Yeah, me too. I've got one of his really early albums where he mixes some 50s music in terms of it's just spectacular. I kind of really love it.
How were we talking 80s? Was it?
No, no, no. It was either 90s or the noughties. I can't remember. It would have been late 90s if it was there. So yeah, a really early one. And some of the ones the most famous for is Funky Beat with Bruno Mars. So it's kind of one he's out at the moment.
Uptown Funk.
Oh, what did I say?
Funky Beat.
Oh, man. Maybe I meant that it has a funky beat.
It has a funky beat. It has a very funky beat. Uptown Funk, obviously.
Uptown Funk, yes.
Yep. And the other one, which I said is quite possibly one of my favourite Amy Winehouse versions, Valerie.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Which is a cover of another song by, what are they called? Who are they? Keep talking, I'll get there.
Okay. I really like this version, so I've heard the original and this version, and I think that her voice makes it a little bit more precious as a result of that.
Yeah. And we'll
ignore the other artist.
But actually, the original version was pretty good.
Yeah.
But Mark Ronson just got it and turned it into a hit.
Yeah.
Like a just funky, lots of soul as well.
Very much so. It's very goosebimbly.
Yeah. So you just want to bop a lot.
You're bopping a lot today.
I know.
You're like a little bopper.
I know.
So, shall we move on?
Then we get to the true, very, very different. So these are 10 of our favourites. And there are actually a lot that didn't make the final list.
Oh, yeah. And people will be writing us, you know, please write us. We really want you to write
us. Please do. But I think we've only picked numbers 1 and 2, and we're just going to make the rest up as we go along.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. So, I am going to start with... Sweet Dreams Are Made of These.
Yeah. Okay.
And I know because we'll get the worst one out of the way for you. Not worst in terms of song.
No.
Worst because it creeps the fuck out of you.
It quietly terrifies me. So,
Sweet Dreams Are Made of These, cheery little song by, from Eurythmics in the 80s, and the film clip where she's in the back of the car. I think, was that where she started with the blonde wig? And people didn't know what Annie Lennox very well.
Maybe.
And then she kind of rips it off and she's got a short red hair and you go, wow.
Yeah.
Great song. You know, great 80s poppy song.
Yeah.
So you get that and then Marilyn Manson get hold of it.
Yeah. And you get very scared.
And it is like you have been locked in a dark, dark prison and tortured for a long time and you don't get to see any daylight. And
people paying Barry Manilow nonstop.
Oh, well, I think that's your idea of hell.
No, it's a young one's idea of hell.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, yes. I remember I'm thinking someone's told me that before. Yeah. Yes. I cannot describe how much I love their version of this song. It is so dark and so wonderful. They just did a heavy, heavy, angry guitar. So different to the original.
Very different to the original. Bloody scary.
Because it's a great song.
Yeah, I agree it's a great song, but I find that it just gives me the heebie-jeebies. I haven't even listened to it all the way through. I'm like, no, stop now.
Yeah, no, it's one of those songs that you put your arms out and you just let it travel through you.
Okay, I'll remember that for next time.
Yeah.
If I ever look into it.
Don't listen to it late at night at home by yourself. But other than that, it's okay. Daylight hours is good. It's like vampires. They won't be around if it's daylight.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Whew.
Let's go to something a bit more cleansing shall we?
Wow. Okay. Let's go to I'm Gonna Be 500 Miles.
500 miles.
500 miles by the Proclaimers. So that was the Proclaimers song. Recently, there's an ad on television, I think it may be for the NRMA, which actually has a band called Sleeping at Last who does that as well. It's a very good fit for NRMA, so snaps to the advertising agency that kind of worked that together. But it's very, very different. So the Proclaimers one is almost like a marching song.
It is very marchy,
Whereas this, the Sleeping at Last one, is much softer, much kind of dreamy state. Yeah. So, yeah. Very different. Have you got any thoughts that you would like to add about those?
And that's, again, what I like about it. It's very different because 500 Miles is also one of those top yes. 10 most overplayed songs yes. in history Weddings. That everybody yep. gets drunk and screams yep. to in yep. bad Scottish accents.
Yes. You go, you've got to do the bad Scottish
yeah,
accent.
And it comes on, you go, oh my God, this song's on. And then halfway through you go, yeah, right.
You can't help it. Just succumb, succumb to it.
Yeah, whereas this the latest version is yeah, quite nice.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And again, yeah. it points to a well-crafted song that can be kind of cut a few different ways. So, yeah. So, 500 Bells, Proclaimers, and Sleeping at Last.
Nice.
Nice.
Okay, our next one.
Where should
one?
We go to next, Neil?
Let's go to Xanadu.
Xanadu.
I love me a bit of Livy.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
The original Xanadu, of course, incredibly shit movie. I'm sorry, but it really...
Yeah, no, it is.
I've seen the storyline. So Xanadu was... I mean, it's hilarious to watch because it's so bad.
Yes.
But this song was incredible. Yeah.
And with her voice. Yeah.
Jeff Lynne, I think they wrote most of the soundtrack to Xanadu.
That would make sense, actually.
But it's one of the 80s dancey yeah. songs as well. It's about early 80s. Xanadu was about 80.
Yeah. Very early.
Yeah. And then contrast with... She was a contestant on The Voice
yes.
about 2 years ago yep. in Australia.
She did Edelweiss as well.
Yes.
Which I love the version of Edelweiss and actually purchased
Fair.
It.
Yep. Yeah, so did I. Celia Pavey is yep. the artist. Now known as Vera Blue.
Ooh.
Who some of the youngsters, if they're listening. she's had two songs in the Triple J's Hottest 100 this year. So collaborated with others for one of the top 10 songs, yep. another one by herself in the 70s somewhere.
Yeah.
She's just got this beautiful...
She does have a lovely voice.
It's like she should have been a 60s folk singer.
Yeah.
And this voice that just lilts and changes so beautifully.
Yeah.
But it's pitch perfect. So she's got this really slow version, acoustic version
yeah.
of Xanadu, and it works so perfectly with her voice. Big fan. Big fan of both of them. And that's the thing with these.
Yeah.
It's not like I really loved that and I really hated that or
no,
I hated the original.
Not.
I love this. I think with all of these, we love both versions.
Yes.
For different
Equally.
Reasons. Yeah.
Equally, but, you know, differently.
Yeah.
So the next song on our very different list of Under the Covers
mm-hmm.
is Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Good.
Tears for choice. Fears.
Yep.
Is original. And also Lord has done one which he did for Hunger Games as one of the songs on the soundtrack.
Yep.
Very different versions of those. So Tears for Fears feels very 80s, but still a beautiful song.
Yeah,
really
it's
well.
Quite poppy. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's sing-along poppy.
Definitely sing-along.
It's very 80s. Tears for Fears are very 80s.
They were very 80s.
Most of their songs were very 80s.
Yes.
There's a few... They had some depth as well.
Yeah. It kind of was like, for me, it was kind of like the era where you had Tears for Fears / Julian Lennon, because they were kind of making the comments on the world at the time, but in a very poppy and relatable way. So that's kind of that. And then the Lord's version is the Lord.
The Lord, yes. The Lord.
Praise the Lord. Lord's version for Hunger Games is slowed right down and darker.
Super dark.
Yeah, but just works,
and,
really works.
And very applicable for the movie as
yeah.
well, because...
It's
you
about
know, it
tutelining
is.
Of the people so you can rule the world.
Well, yeah, or, you know, yeah, everybody, not everybody, but certainly everybody in the capital city wanted to, and
yep.
it was all about the control of the politics. But
I
thought it was a...
Yeah, all those dystopian type of worlds.
Mm. Absolutely.
The other thing that also is there's Mad World for Tears for Fears and Michael Andrews as well, featuring Gary Jules.
Yeah.
So that's another one that's kind of been redone.
Maybe Tears for Fears songs work well when super slowed down.
Yeah.
Maybe we should try that with
all
of
them. Just give it a go.
The songs from The Big Chair is their big album.
Yes.
Because the only song they had that was actually really slow to start with was Woman in Chains,
yeah.
which is also a great song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe
yeah.
we speed that one up and see how that works.
See how it works. So, yes,
Disco,
there we go.
Poppy dance hit, I think. Woman in Chains would just work beautifully, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah. No, maybe not.
No, we'll
maybe just... it needs to be in the new 50 Shades of whatever.
Yeah.
50 Shades of Grey or Green or whatever it is.
It's darker, I think.
Oh, is it? Yeah, well, maybe it's in that. Who knows? Probably not something we really care about, so maybe we just need to move on.
So my next one, 70s classic. I think it's late 70s or early 80s. Ooh.
Ooh.
going to, yeah, very early 80s, I think. Heart of Glass by Blondie.
Yes.
Which was huge, huge hit for Blondie, huge. And deservedly so, because yes. it was kind of defining an era, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
That went into, you know, everyone, okay, now we're in the 80s.
Yeah.
There was a bit of a changeover period, and this was, yeah. This is what 80s is music. Is
but also it was right at that period where you still had quite a bit of punk influence from the 70s.
Late 70s, yeah. Mid-late 70s.
So there was, it was still kind of like a bit of a harder sort of song rather than just being a straight, you know, 80s song. It would have that little bit of an edge to it.
And so then the very different version.
Actually, I think it's 78 or 79, actually, to be honest. I think
it is.
That's
what I was thinking, was it? Because that's where they came to prominence, right at the end of the 70s and then rode that into the 80s.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So the very different version is the Papini Sisters. If you like a bit of 1920s influenced, like the Andrew Sisters, the cover versions of songs, have a listen to the Papini Sisters. They do some great.
They do.
Wuthering Heights.
Crazy in Love.
Crazy Beyonce. Yeah. Walk Like an Egyptian is the other one I need to play for you.
That's I tell you, there's like a theme here. So the Papini Sisters seem to only do females, which is fine.
Oh yeah.
All good.
Start with B.
And then start with B.
Oh my God. Yes. I just went, oh my God, it's the Bangles. That was the one I didn't play because you said the three
goodness.
I told you. So played started with B. And suddenly I give you the Bangles as the other one.
That's hilarious.
Maybe that is. Maybe that's their thing, and
it's
we've just
thing.
Cracked the code.
We've cracked
their
the code
top
they
secret
use.
Code.
So then I want to hear some Pat Benatar, the Papini Sisters do.
Ooh, yeah, they could do a great
they
little
could
hit
do,
with your best shot.
Yeah, hit me with your best shot, Papini Sisters. If you're out there and you're listening, which I totally know you will be, please do some Pat Benatar. Love a bit of Pat Benatar.
So yes, the Papini Sisters, great harmonies.
Oh yeah, it's
just
magic.
They know this. They know their craft. They know their audience. They just do it so well.
Yeah, they do.
Great version of this song.
It is a very good version of this song.
Yes.
Okay, so next. Where should we go next? I think that we'll go to He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother.
Yep.
Which was originally done by the Hollies and then redone. That doesn't make sense.
Redone.
Anyway, the House Martins then did that in the 80s, and they did it with a little bit of a theme that we seem to have going. A cappella style.
Love a good a cappella version of things. Yeah. And the House Martins are one of the first
Caravan
bands
of Love.
That spring to mind, or groups that spring to mind when you talk about that stuff.
Definitely. Yeah. Beautiful voices, gorgeous harmony, and just a really nice treatment of this. It does make you kind of, you know, tear up a bit even, I think.
Mm. No, it is good. Yeah.
Good old House Martins.
I often find, because my choral training when I was younger ended up as a bass, no surprise there. So I find myself singing the bass line to
nice.
So I often learn, it's the same with pentatonics, that the first thing apart from the melody, I then pick up the bass line and sing the bass line with it. Which is kind of cool. I like singing along because you feel like you're part of the group.
And particularly if you're not choosing the, you know, the standard part of it.
Yeah, and the Flying Pickets are the other group we talked about that have done a lot of great, fun covers.
Yeah,
of
definitely. And they didn't make the list, though.
No, they didn't. That's why I just squeezed them in
there. Yeah, good on you, because they are fun. They make me smile.
They do fun. Yeah, they actually do really fun covers of different things. We also didn't talk about UB40 with good reason.
Yeah, moving right along. So I think it's up to you now.
I've got...
Back to you.
I'm back to... Well, we've only got four left.
Yes.
And
this
was one of my
favorite dance... Oh, my gosh. He just
put
his pen down.
One of my favorite dance tracks of the 80s. This was a defining song in my teenage years, I think. Bizarre Love Triangle by New Order.
Yep.
Just a dance floor classic.
Absolutely.
They sort of took a lot of 80s songs you can't really dance to. You can kind of dance.
Yeah.
But it's not... Dance,
yeah.
Whereas New Order just went there.
Yep,
like,
they did.
Were the first, like, this is good dance stuff.
They also didn't have this, you know, plastered all over the chorus line either.
Yeah,
the title of
they
it,
actually
so.
Had a verse and words and
a little bit other stuff.
Yeah. So then, bit of a surprise, we've got just an acoustic stripped back version.
Wow, really?
Yeah, we seem to have picked a lot of big production 80s numbers that have then been stripped back. But again, it proves the point that we've been making, that good songs, well-written songs, can be sung in any genre and sound good.
Most definitely.
The version, the Bizarre Love Triangle version that I really love is Australian 90s, indie band Frente.
Yeah.
Angie Hart has this just wonderful melodic voice. So it's just her and an acoustic guitar. And it is so... I remember that the first time I played you this, remember, was it a trivia night?
Yes. Oh, gosh.
6 years ago, and it was like, guess this song. You sat there and sang every word and then went, I don't know what the song's called.
Yeah, because it's not plastered all over the lyrics.
No, but when do they sing the song title? You go, this is one of those songs where they don't sing the song title.
Yeah. You might have a few wines or something by then too. Yeah. So it's quite a bit of pressure.
There's a lot of pressure at trivia nights anyway. You know, your brain goes, oh my God, I should know this. Because everyone's going, oh, she knows, she's singing it.
But, and Minnie loved it, like revelled in the fact that I knew every single word. I was pretty excited
that you sang. I quote that to people. I go, one of my friends sang every word of the song and then still didn't get it right.
Yeah, see, there you go. I'm quotable, maybe. Quotable.
Yep.
So, yes, it's a beautiful version. Neil's giving me hand signals like a puppet. Moving right along.
The Muppets. We're moving right along.
I think he's hungry. Rightio. So, second last song for me.
Mm-hmm.
Second last.
Mm.
Flame Trees.
And hang on, let me guess. This is an 80s song with big production that's been stripped right back.
No, not quite. Okay. So, but it is a big song, but it's a song by Cold Chisel originally.
Huge song
by Cold Chisel. And what I like about this song above some of the other songs about Cold Chisel is a lot of them are rock songs, like full-on rock, Jimmy Barnes screaming his guts out. And this is actually a beautiful song with a story in it, with all of the elements that you like about it. So it's actually gorgeous. You added then, or contrasted then, with Sarah Blasco's voice that is ethereal in a odd ethereal way.
Odd ethereal?
Well, that, you know, we've used ethereal when we're talking about Clannad and Enya, and you kind of feel that angelic.
She's not that kind of ethereal.
She's not that kind of ethereal, but she's got this...
It's really soothing.
Yes, it's soothing and it's mesmerizing.
Yeah.
So when she's... It's just a mesmerizing... I remember, actually, there was this CD place which... doesn't exist anymore, hasn't existed for a long, long time when I worked at AMP, just out the back, and the guy there knew me very well because I obviously bought a lot of music. And he said to me, here, take this, you'll really love it. And I'm kind of like, I don't know. And I absolutely love it. The first time I listened to it, I'm like, what have you given me? But then now just love it. Love Sarah Blasco. I'm trying to actually build out my entire catalogue, so I've got every album she's ever released.
Wow.
So, yeah, just love it. So it's a beautiful rendition of Flame Trees.
Yeah, it is. Do you have a moment? You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'll just be.
And so just to buck the trend.
Yes, buck away.
Our top two songs, especially this one.
You missed one?
Sorry, I've got one more. I've got one more. Then you must have one more.
No, I think the last two we just decided, so they're not like it's not like a you and then a me and then a you and then a me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm bucking the trend anyway with this one.
Yeah, you are.
Because we've taken a nice, soft, almost just acoustic and very simple 50s song that was then redone as a country song in the 70s.
Yes.
And then completely 80s. I know. I'm building to that.
Building suspense.
Always on. You were always on my mind. So you know I love Elvis. I've come out of that Elvis closet.
You've admitted it to our fans.
Yep.
They're in the know.
So then in the 70s, Willie Nelson did a bit of a country tribute, which we would have put in the revival of a classic.
Yeah.
And then the Pet Shop Boys in the 80s just 80-ified it.
So it went from simple to overproduction.
To big dance
classics. Good old Pet Shop Boys.
Great 80s, yes. Great. Wonderful version of the song.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be interesting to hear the contrast between the Elvis version, the Willie version, and the Pet Shop Boys version. So hopefully, Trevor, if we've spoken enough time, we'll be able to kind of slice and dice those three songs in there so that everyone gets a little bit of a taste of that, which is why I'm probably adding some extra words around it just so that we've got space to do that. Okay, right. So we're up our last two.
Are we up to our last two already?
Yeah, are we?
Yeah, we must be. Both of these were released the same year, I think, about 6 months apart.
Yep.
So All Along the Watchtower was originally a Bob Dylan song, I respect Bob Dylan as a songwriter. He's just not my bag. He's not my thing. I just think he's a little bit odd. But I know he's a very talented writer. I know people get him. I know people love him. And that's good. I don't hate him. I don't like, you know, I don't think less of people if they think he's a great singer-songwriter, so that's all good.
Well, I wonder whether, because if you look at...
Actually, he's a great songwriter. Yes. Maybe, for me, it's the visual and his... you know, I know he feels his songs, but...
And that's what I was about...
He's not a great singer.
And that's what I was about to say. I actually think his songs and the lyrics in his songs are poignant and unbelievably clever and just really quite... just damn well written.
And a great...
But him singing it, I don't know, it's a little... And I don't want to diss to Bob Dylan because, you know, gosh, it's Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
But it's not the musical tone that I like.
Same here. And this is the weird thing is I think every cover of every Dylan song I've ever heard, I've liked better.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Which, again, means that they're well-written, well-crafted songs. His voice just isn't for me.
Yep.
So all along the way, that was it. And then Jimi Hendrix just took it and made it...
Boom.
One of the songs of an era.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you've had a big Dirty J and then listen to this, that guitar talks to you, let me tell you.
Does it? Wow, Neil!
It is psychedelia at its best. It is... Jimi Hendrix at the peak of his powers.
Yep.
Wonderful version. He was an extraordinary, extraordinary guitar player with his Fender Stratocaster strung upside down because he was left-handed.
Of course.
Just incredible song, incredible version. And Bob Dylan's was a little bit kind of, you know, guitar-y and a little bit of... But Jimi Hendrix just took it to another level.
Yeah. So let me guess, you prefer the Jimi Hendrix version?
Just a little.
Yeah, it wasn't quite clear. I thought, you know, we should just probably tease that out a little bit more.
Whereas this one, the next one, the last one, the final one.
Oh, okay, the final one.
Is also one that was both, 60s, early 70s.
Yes.
And again, it was a more stripped-down version.
Yes, we're into the stripped-downs, aren't we? Mm. So the last song that we've chosen is Light My Fire, which originally made famous by The Doors.
Yes.
However...
With good reason for being made famous by The Doors.
It's a fantastic song. Yeah. Jim Morrison,
especially
baby.
in the Doors movie, where there's a scene where Ed Sullivan is saying to them, "Sorry guys, when you say, 'Girl, we couldn't get much higher,' can you sing, 'Girl, we couldn't get much better'? You know, can you guys dig that?" He's trying to be funky, and so they all just looked at each other, rolled their eyes, and then when it came to filming it live, you know, Jim Morrison, "Girl, we couldn't get much." Looked right into the camera, got as close as he could, and said, "Higher." Just
went, "Suck you."
Sorry. And then we haven't talked about the stripped back version.
The stripped back version, Jose Feliciano. So unbelievably beautiful. It's an acoustic version, so it's stripped right back, but it's also sped up. So he actually sings it a little bit faster as well in terms of
it.
Light My Fire, Light My Fire. And the amazing, amazing thing about Jose Feliciano is he's blind and has learned how to play guitar. And he damn well plays it really, really well.
Good, yes.
Really well. Not only normal guitar, but Spanish guitar as well. And I think that this song is his. I think this is his signature song.
Mm, yeah, probably.
It's just, beautiful. Thank you to my dad for being a bit odd and introducing me to Jose Feliciano all those years ago. And my family will know that, we love this song. We love Jose. What a dude.
Dude. Nice work.
Yeah, nice work. So under the covers.
That's our under the covers.
Yeah.
Thank you for spending that time with us.
Yes.
We'll be back next time with another exciting topic.
Which it sounds like we don't know, but we totally know. We just want to leave it as a surprise.
And actually, there's a little bit of a link, possibly,
there is
to
a
what
link.
We've been talking about now.
Ooh, do we want to reveal the link or we'll reveal it next time?
No.
Sucked in, people. You have to listen next time. That's the hook. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much.
And we will see you next time.
Bye.